Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you jerk off.
See, because I paid a link for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
So do that thing that you did last time where we started.
What are you talking about? Hello, listeners, and welcome to the TagCast Podcast.
That's what I'm talking
your
about.
Announcer, I think, or your announcer. I don't know what the fuck I am.
I think
really.
You were a producer at first.
I don't know. We'll just switch roles. I like that.
How about if you're co-host?
I don't know what the fuck I am. I'm Gatch.
Welcome to the TagCast Podcast. I'm Terry.
Woo.
And he's Gatch.
How are you doing? I haven't seen you since it was Wednesday when I last saw you.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I can't even remember. But yeah, we were actually getting some phone calls on during the thing. I think it was a Celtic Frost song came on. I was like, who's playing music during the podcast? And it was actually Seth calling. And that's our guest for today, Mr. Seth Milstein. He's joining us in the studio.
Hello.
And in case you don't know who Seth is, he's a comedian, actor dude. Friend of mine.
A comedian, actor, dude.
And he's a writer guy, too.
I do all three of those things.
And
at least once.
Come on, you've got to do something else. Give us a fourth. He's a screen printer, I think.
I am a screen printer.
Nice. And I didn't find that out until I listened to your little phone conversation with that
nice
other dude.
Oh, Jason Sims is calling you.
Yeah.
We also have sound guy Jeff Simpson.
Hey.
Simpson on sound and on the background vocals, right?
Yeah, background.
He has he has served in many applications as a sound guy for me in the last 20 some years. So
wow,
it's nice to have him here doing this. But so before I forget, I posted a thing on Facebook saying that any local flautist should probably listen to the show on Wednesday, and then we didn't get to it because we had some technical difficulties. Okay, so we were talking during the break, or before we started, I mean, about Tenacious D, and they're coming to Bend, but the new Tenacious D is out, so we'd like to plug them, but this is a little thing I want to play. I don't really have my normal application. It's going to sound weird, but this is for Jason Rowe, and maybe for Zach. See, and he plays the flute in 30-pound test,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he plays, yeah.
Right.
You goddamn motherfucking stupid piece of shit!
That's just classic Jack Black right there. I just had to share
I'm thinking that might be a lyric on another album that he has, isn't it?
It was when they broke up, when Kyle left the band, remember?
Yeah.
You goddamn motherfucking stupid piece of shit!
He's reusing lyrics like we did that one time in Sons.
It's kind of a concept thing, you know, it brings the listeners back. They're like, hey, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's out of the way. Now we can concentrate on what we're going to concentrate on, which is
our
guest.
Can I apologize to the listeners for being so sick right now?
Yeah, you sound a little nasally.
Yeah, I'm super nasally. More nasally than usual.
You go to the Nasal Academy?
To go to the Nasal, that's how I got here.
So,
I read a snap book.
Neil Young.
At least you were kind of
Tom Petty.
I almost said the phrase, what is the deal with?
Well, you're a comedian, isn't that?
No.
What is the deal?
But I'm a comedian in 2012.
What's the deal?
So
yeah. Corn nuts.
Not 92.
But I don't understand why snot has to be the thing that we use to get germs out of our body. Like, I would be so much more comfortable if it was just crying. If it just cried for like 4 days, that would be so much awesomer
yeah,
to me.
Your tear ducts release it.
Yeah.
And that's when you know that you're really sick and you've got a good infection when it's like green color.
Yeah, like yeah. When you're, yeah.
And you can't help but accidentally suck some snot and mucus
yeah.
into your mouth. Like,
I've kept it in a jar before, I'm not going to lie.
And I got into this one time. I never worked it into a full bit, but it's kind of gross, and I'm not a homophobe or anything, but I mentioned that mucus probably tastes a lot like semen. I tried to make the girls feel better because I say it's not bad. It's probably just like a little bit different texture, and of course it's probably warmer. But and I asked my wife, "Does it taste like semen?" And she goes, "No."
Is this the part where we all pretend that we haven't tried our own semen?
Yes, we do. This is like we talked the other day, how people can deny the fact that they masturbate or watch porn, guys. And you can deny the fact that you tasted your own semen.
Do you realize, though, there's not a moment that you're not smelling your own boogers and snot? You're just... You don't really know what the world smells like.
Yeah, no.
You're smelling it through a snot filter.
Yeah.
Oh, the grossest thing to me is like when I pinch my nose, like when I'm like rubbing my nose or whatever, and I pinch it, and you smell like it releases whatever the actual smell of all of the shit that your nose hairs are filtering out. Yeah. That is the worst smell ever in the universe.
When you finally get your nose.
Thank you, nose hairs.
I think what it is you get those black things in your nose, you know, that you pick out. And I think what those are fart particles. I think when people fart, they collect in your mucus. And that's what those black things are.
The grossest thing that anybody has ever told me is I was talking about how I like to read on the toilet sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is
that's all guys. Can I borrow that book?
All guys do that.
Borrowed the entire library. But and this girl was like, "That's disgusting," and I was like, "Why is it disgusting? I'm just reading it." And she's like, "But then your
particles,
books get poo particles all over." And then someone explained to me, "Hey, you know, like when you smell something, that's not just like the smell of the thing; that's actual particles of it." And, like, ever since then, I hate every time I smell anything, really.
Anything.
If I smell good food, I'm just like, ugh, there's fucking lasagna in my nose right now.
I didn't really used to care, like, when you go in the bathroom, say, at work or something, and it just smells like, you know, I used to work at Country Coach, but they have a big bathroom with, like, four stalls. So, like, four people could be in there shitting at the same time. Yeah. You go in to take a piss, and you're like,
shouldn't you shower then after every time you go to the bathroom?
Right, so before I knew that there were actual particles that were going in your
nose. Put on new clothes.
I would kind of be like, that's not so bad. I've smelled shit before. It's not so bad. And then, actually, it was an SOD song that came out in, like, 98 called something about, I can't even remember the name of it. But
is that the...
The chorus is, this bathroom's fucking gross. The bathroom's fucking gross. The bathroom's fucking gross. Something like that, and then it's like, I don't want to smell your shit. But anyway, it talked about the particles in the lyrics, how the particles, it's actual poop that's in your nose, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Not good. It's okay when it's your own shit, because it's just kind of recycling, I guess, but...
not really.
It's not really. It's not okay.
No, shit's not, it's not okay. Your nose that you're breathing.
You don't? I guess you don't.
How many... Excuse me. I was wondering this earlier. Like, what is the limit, you know, when you got a gassy day? How many farts until you, like, it's mandatory to wipe your ass?
Wow, we just got all the way into fart material.
I know. How did that happen?
We were talking about it, weren't we? We went from boogers to shit.
Oh, shit in the nose. That's right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was just something I was wondering today. I asked because I work with people that fart.
What's the question?
How many until it's like, all right, I better go and wipe?
Just depends on if it's still air. I don't think you'd have to wipe after 100
air. But you're saying that it's always shit particles if it smells, though. So, like,
I guess you have to. If we're gonna go into this, I'm gonna get deep on you.
Okay.
I just feel like I will go through a phase, like throughout the day, like especially if I. This is my magic combination. If I eat ice cream and drink beer in a night, the next day, what will happen is I will start with some just general air farts, and then they will progressively get more and more smelly, and then there will just be a moment where it's like, nope, gotta go.
Yeah.
And then that's when you're, that's also the worst poo.
You're hearing a shart. So when it nears a shart, that's when you have to wipe. I had an unfortunate realization. It was a wonderful realization, but it was unfortunate at the same time. I'll be honest. This is an honest radio show. I sharted a little bit.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just going to be air, and then I realized it really wasn't, and then I was like, oh, and then, like, so the first thing you do is walk funny to the bathroom, and I was like, shit, literally, I'm going to have to check my underwear, right? So there was nothing on my underwear, and luckily, the butt hair around my butthole, like, absorbed it.
And like I use this conversation
like
the, right now.
I decided that that's what this
the
for.
Hairs in your nose do with mucus.
Exactly. And I never realized that that's what that was for. My wife said, that's just gross. But it is. She's right. We should probably get on to some actual subjects.
Yeah.
We brought Seth here to talk about the way we shit.
Doo-doo.
He's like, I went on this podcast. We're like, we were just talking shit for like 15 minutes.
That
could be a segment, talking shit with Terry and Gatch.
Hey, so you guys all like heavy metal music, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you some questions that I've always been curious about the heavy metal?
Oh, yeah. The heavy metal, I'm an expert. I consider myself a heavy metal expert.
Yes.
I'm more
absolutely
of hard rock.
What was the name of the guy that Metallica kicked out for dying?
His name was Cliff Burton.
Okay, I
did they kick him out after?
Kerry King from Slayer related to Rodney King.
Yes.
But we were talking on Wednesday's episode if Richard Simmons was related to Gene Simmons.
They both have similar hair. They have similar hair.
Yeah, well, I would have similar background. They're both
I think that Richard is his half-sister.
Yeah.
No, I think Gene Simmons is just shallow enough to shun Richard and just be like, nope, you live your life.
You got your deal of meal, I got my
what can you
entire
do?
Industry of Gene Simmons.
I'm going to rock for a little bit
but,
and
you
then
know,
sell a lot of merchandise.
Leave it to assholes like Lars and James to kick someone out for getting crushed by a bus.
I know.
I mean,
that is fucked up.
Is the band Exodus Jewish?
You know what? They're probably not.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that because we were just talking about Exodus on Wednesday's episode and how their former guitarist Rick Hunold, who was on the first five or six albums, and then he got all methed up on drugs.
And this is the guy working at the Dollar.
Yeah, he is now the manager at the Dollar Tree in Clearwater, California. But because of the fact that Jeff Hanneman got bit by a spider and almost lost his arm, Gary Holt from Exodus is filling in for Jeff Hanneman on the Slayer tour. At the same time, Exodus has obligations in Europe, so the manager of the Dollar Tree is going to be filling in with his old band Exodus and getting paid $35,000 to do 9 shows.
See, but
in Europe. That's a fucking vacation.
I'm trying to get the circle to go full. I want Jeff to go and work at the dollar store.
Jeff Hanneman?
Yeah.
Well, he might.
And then people
check
need to
out.
Go in there and give him dollars.
So check this out. You know that Rick Hunold is not going to make $35,000 in a year. At the dollar store.
No, it's a dollar a day, right?
No, it's
price
not.
Check on aisle 7. Okay, we should probably maybe get into some questions for some. You got?
All right.
I'm gonna let him have some questions first because I asked him. You got any questions?
I got some questions for you, Seth.
He had some goofball questions. All
right. Have you ever owned a horse?
I've never owned a live one.
No, okay. So you've owned like have you owned a sawhorse?
Have I owned a sawhorse?
Yeah.
No, like I've like moved into houses that had sawhorses in the garage, and I've owned them until I've moved out.
What about
out.
A seesaw?
No, I've never owned a seesaw.
What about a seahorse?
Yeah.
Nope, no seahorses.
All right. Well, here's a hypothetical question. I know you've never owned a horse, but do you think it's appropriate for someone to name their horse Seabiscuit? Is it like good luck, bad luck? If some to name your horse Seabiscuit?
Well, you know, I think yeah. In the situation of horses, because like with a kid, you kind of have to choose. Like you're kind of a dick if you go real crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't. Who just won the Preakness or whatever? Like those names for horses are always like a gentleman caller. Or
yeah.
Like that.
Do you retire the name after it's been a winner?
Right, but
you do.
You know, like you can really go anywhere with a horse name. But like
you
with
can't.
Kids, you're kind of a douchebag if you go too crazy. Like if you named your kid like All for the Win or something like that, you'd be a dick.
That's true. I never thought about how you know. I used to think about it when I was a kid. I don't know if this is relevant or not, but when I was a kid, my parents used to take me shopping at Fred Meyer's in Albany, and they had these cards you could buy, and then you could watch horse races on a certain TV channel, and so you could bet on these cards at Fred Meyer on these horse races because down here in the hick towns like Brownsville, you can't go horse race betting. You know, you got to go to Portland Meadows or New York or wherever they have horse races. But, so that's weird. Do you guys ever remember
that? I don't remember.
No, yeah, I do.
So we would, and they had all those names like Morning Glory and like just all these goofy names. I never thought about naming your kids horse, and that's an excellent
point. Well, you know, it's like what celebrities do now. Like celebrities are naming their kids like weird. Yeah,
Blanket.
Apple.
Blue X or whatever it is.
Pilot and stuff like that. And it's like.
Apple.
But yeah, I feel, so I get back to the question, I feel like you have enough options when you're a horse owner that you don't have to, you know, it would be kind of like
sea biscuit,
kind of douchey, you know,
and see, it's
like not like Mike or whatever.
Seahorse. Yeah. Oh, what
you
if they just
a
had
lot
a,
of,
you know, what if they just had a horse named like Michael John, or Jonathan Michael,
Gary. What if you named him after serial killer?
We got Jonathan Michael coming up the final stretch.
You got John Wayne Gacy coming up.
See, that
you paint the horse and clown makeup.
They can make a lodge where you can't just name your horse some random phrase. Like,
why don't people go with like horse names for bands? Why don't they get all crazy like that?
They kind of do now.
They do.
Like Between the Buried and Me, and like
I, guess so.
I wrestled a bear once.
Them Crooked Vultures. That would be a horse, right?
There's some Eugene band that's called On the First Day They Were Kittens.
Yeah, they've been debunked for a while. And then there was a dot 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 too. Like there was going to be more,
right?
And
well,
then,
I loved that they've changed it now to something
rabbits,
boring.
Rabbits,
bunnies, bunnies,
oh, bunnies,
bunnies, bunnies, bunnies, bunnies.
Yeah, so there was a band with Chris and Josh.
How many?
Seven
bunnies.
It was seven.
And
I'll
quickly.
I told them that I was the first guy to give them a douchey abbreviation. And I was like,
seven.
Bun Seven.
Oh.
Or no, Bun Sev. That was my name.
That's great, though.
It was like, you know, it was their STP. So.
One of their earlier posts, it just said Bunny X.
And they would have had to change it to that, too, because that would have been like their Better Than Ezra moment, you know.
Yeah.
But they changed it to something weird, and I actually remember, which is odd for me, being such a memory guy, but their band name is now called It Equals Or.
Yeah.
But the equals is the equal sign, so that's weird.
Is that like Prince? Build symbol?
On a side note, for Better Than Ezra, I don't even know, I couldn't name one song by that band, but I've heard the name.
Yeah.
And like, that was always a thing for me, like whenever somebody would say something, I would just be like, oh no, it's totally Better Than Ezra. Like, I always thought that was funny, just because it was
that's how
pop
I
culture,
heard,
but we used to work at this place called Indiana Beach, and it was like in the Albany of the area. It was like way the fuck
the
out.
The stinkhole?
Yeah. It was like Lafayette was kind of the Eugene, and then like Monticello was the Albany. Uh-huh. And it was like this amusement park that some old dude just built in the middle of nowhere because he had a bunch of money and not a lot of imagination. And so he built this like really lame amusement park. And there was the Skyline Lounge, I think was the name of the bar in the amusement park, and they had a band that would play there like every 2 weeks called Ezra. And it is my belief that the band Better Than Ezra has been to Indiana Beach and seen
that's,
Ezra.
That's where they got their name.
No, they were actually, the story behind their name is they were actually Ezra was their name, and the record company said that's a dumb name, and so they said, well,
can't
you
come
need
up with
something better than Ezra, and so that's what they went with.
My friend Kid said that there was a split in the band at one point, and like one guy was just like,
Ezra.
Couldn't think of a good name, so he was like, Better Than Ezra.
It's like Lynyrd Skynyrd's, or CCR's surviving members in our war with John Fogerty have now called their band Better Than CCR. But it's not really John Fogerty.
Yeah.
Like, we used to come up with that, but Better Than Ezra, when we were thinking of names for our kid. I was like, we could name him John. And they're like, well, that's so boring. And I'm like, well, it's Better Than Ezra. Who's going to name your kid
that's
Ezra?
That's how I used to use that expression.
You know what? I'm going to change it and make it Better Than Arsenio.
Ooh.
I watched the Celebrity Apprentice.
You know, I know you've watched that
winning.
For years.
He ended up winning.
So what does he get for it?
Well, he gets like $250,000 for Magic Johnson Foundation charity thing.
What?
But he might be getting his.
Because you're a celebrity, you don't get to take home any money.
Yeah.
Because
you
should already. saved
that. Arsenio could use that money.
You know how much money Magic Johnson already has?
But it's the Magic Johnson Foundation that keeps him alive with his money of AIDS. But
no,
Arsenio might be getting his talk show back. They don't know if it's late night or not, but he could be competing with Ellen. I could see him doing like an afternoon show. I think it'd be big. I mean,
you think it'd be daytime?
I think he could compete with Ellen and Dr. Phil. He could be Dr. Arsenio.
I used to watch him because I don't know why.
I don't think he's willing to go to med school at this point.
Trying to. You could get a doctor's degree.
That doesn't stop Dr. Phil.
Who?
See what the problem is, yeah.
So thinking. I'm not very good at Dr. Phil impressions.
Dr. Phil won't actually get his medical license. Like, he's all trained as a doctor or whatever, but he won't renew his medical license because then it makes him liable for giving.
So is it
like if somebody were to use some of his information and decide to sue him? Yeah.
So he can just spew whatever.
Yeah.
So is it?
So he doesn't have to deal with malpractice, though.
Right.
Pretty much.
So is it kind of like if you're the president, then you're always the president, and if you're a doctor, you're still called doctor even if you're not a legal doctor?
I think he changed his first name to doctor.
And his last name to Phil.
Hello, yeah. Doctor.
He's always got his wife in the first row now.
Yeah. And is she a nurse? Okay, so we'll kind of go back and forth because I knew Dustin would be a little silly if you ever owned a horse, seahorse, sawhorse. I want to ask
you. You never know. I mean, you know, you could have owned a horse at one time. You know,
it's
I
possible.
Just wanted to know the Seabiscuit thing. You
it's
know,
possible.
It's like one of those Rorschach.
Well, see, I've never seen Seabiscuit, so I don't understand the
I've
role
never
of
seen
the
movie.
But
I just meant like.
Name? Why is that a bad name?
He's a champion, you know? He's.
But what's wrong with the name Seabiscuit? I mean, I.
Well, it's. No,
well,
my
it would
point
be like,
is.
It would be
like
naming your kid, like.
Ezra.
Michelangelo. Right? It would be like. Naming your kid Rembrandt. I
yeah,
mean,
it would be like
been.
Naming your kid Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
What does Seabiscuit even mean? I don't even know. I'm dumb.
It doesn't mean anything. He's just like the world's most known horse.
That was just the dumb name that they gave to the horse who ended up being
so you're
an
like,
awesome champion.
I
don't
they,
name
okay.
your kid George Washington because how's he going to live up to that? So don't name your horse Seabiscuit. You know, that's bad luck. He's just going to. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like
I
how like white power people name their kids Adolf Hitler.
Or T-Guile.
If only.
T-Guile. That reminds me of like one of the first times Seth ever set me up at the open mics. He didn't know if my name was Guile or Giel, because it looks like Giel. And I said, I told you, you Jew. And I'd met Seth maybe twice. I just watched a video not too long ago, and I'm like, I told you, you Jew, if you want to remember my name, it's T-Guile. T-Guile. And I was doing that to Boomer at the Cannabis Cafe, and right as I stood up at my table and said, T-Guile, and for those of you who can't see, I'm raising my arm in a T-Guile fashion, Nathan Brannon walked in the door. And he was just getting ready to go on stage.
I was at that show.
Oh, okay, yeah, and he said something about it, and I had to defend myself, saying, no, I wasn't saying Z-Guile. I was saying T-Guile. That's how you remember my name, but, yeah.
I'm sure he remembers.
I'm sure he does, because, like... racial. I he posted something that he had said.
Or he made a point not to.
Experience racism at Walmart or something weird. Or somewhere. Somewhere but
well, that'd be a weird place to experience racism.
Well, goddamn, look at that guy. He's awful musical, ain't he? Okay, so I got a question for Seth. What can you tell us about the movie The Children of Terra Firma?
Oh, The Children of Terra Firma. I just finished doing ADR for that movie. I can tell you that it is a science fiction thriller.
Mm-hmm. And it has actors as, it, like yourself in it?
I am in it.
Okay, that's what I was getting
I'm
at.
I guess I'm top billed.
I
saw
the
poster.
Star. Yeah.
And, but it's like one of those things where there's a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, like... The whole movie takes place like over the course of like 40 years. Like it starts in the 60s, so like there's this whole scene. Well, no, I think there's a scene in the 70s, and then a scene in the 80s, and then I'm in the scene in the 90s.
You're 90s.
And then yeah, like and then there's a scene like in 2002 and 2012. So it's like every 10 years something happens.
And is it in the script?
Unexplainable.
In the script, is it based in like Eugene, or is it?
Yes,
okay,
it
cool.
is based in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's just a local couple dudes, or is it a company, or?
It's
it
a guy. It's a guy. It's one guy, Jared Lubinow, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
He's
who
probably
is,
a film student.
I think he took. I think he's not in school now, and I know that he has done some school for filmy type stuff. But yeah, he's a. He's made a bunch of shorts, I haven't seen any of the other stuff that he's done, but his stuff is really interesting. Like when you know, like
I saw the trailer or a couple of the teasers. It wasn't an actual trailer, but it looked
he loves
well done
teasers.
It looked well done. And then I saw a post the other day saying that without credits, it was like 1 hour and 24 minutes or somewhere around there.
Wow. And he's trying to figure out whether he wants to release it like that or if he wants to try to.
Because he said he cut a lot out. He said he cut a lot out, and he was sad, or not sad, but he was kind of bummed that he had to cut it out. But it helped the story flow better and stuff like that. And that's important. As a director,
well, that's the editing, right?
You got to decide what's relevant.
You
what's
can always
just,
do you know, the good. Director's cut 10 years later.
Or deleted scenes on the DVD.
And he showed me like all of the scenes that I was in, and then he showed me kind of like the grand finale scene, which was pretty.
And it would always suck to like be kind of stoked as a local person who's not really a star to be in a movie and then find out that your scenes got cut.
I don't think any person like got completely cut out.
Right.
I think it was just little bits of different people's scenes. Because he cut out like there was one thing that because I was recording additional audio or whatever,
voiceovers.
For scenes that were like there was too much background noise or something.
Is that tough?
It's a real pain in the ass. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be. And like now, is like I couldn't imagine doing it in like 1958. Like that would be the worst.
But that's why they looked so odd
that year specifically.
58 was bad.
But you know, like they would have to do it with tape and stuff. But because like I would do it and I would get it really close, and then he's like.
Can he nudge it here and there,
and like you know, he'd cut out little slivers that you couldn't even like tell that it was removed
frame by frame.
But yeah, it was really cool to be part of it for sure.
I almost
killed myself on the shoot of that movie.
See, now that would have brought you probably a lot of fame.
That movie would have blown up
exactly
if I would have had the common decency to just die already.
Yeah, I know. You can boost your career.
No, but that's the fucked up thing is I'm the guy that gets away in the movie, and I almost died while I was. Well, no, I mean that's pretty early on in the film or whatever.
So, Harrison Ford says that he always likes to have his character killed off. So, like, no one can continue it. And I think he wants to do another Indiana Jones just so he can kill off his character.
Well, I heard a rumor that they're going to do a Ghostbusters 3, and the only way that Bill Murray agreed to do it is if they kill his character off and he just does a cameo as a ghost. And I was like, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
But, like, then I heard, like, the other concept is that they're going to be training the new flock of Ghostbusters or whatever.
No, so they're going to try.
They could really go off the rails with that. But like the only name that I heard bantered about was Seth Rogen. And a lot of times when I say that I don't think that that's a good idea, sometimes it is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I really thought I was going to hate that 50-50 movie, but then I kind of loved it.
I liked it. I actually was. I think I told you this at the Donkey Kong comedy. I watched that and I was like. Sad. I mean, it was funny.
Yeah.
It was a funny movie, but, like, I've, you know, just like anybody, you've lost people from cancer and whatnot, and, like, famous people, shout out MCA. Actually, Donna Summer, Bee Gees, dude, all those, cancer.
Yeah.
So I say F cancer, but I was actually,
I think better if you call it lollipops.
I think I teared up a little bit.
Doesn't sound better.
Could you... You know, as a,
well, yeah, cancer sounds pretty like, just, ugh.
If someone died of breast lollipops.
Now, look, if they would have changed it recently, then it might be okay. But if from the start of time, lollipops was what cancer was called, lollipops would sound bad.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want to be like, you don't want to be.
It's like that thing about, like, how do you know that red is actually red? You know,
right, and, like,
that is true. That
you've
is
got,
true.
Like, parents that just, I've heard parents go, you know, when I have a kid, I'm going to teach him. Up is down, and down is up.
Oh, that'd be kind of
cool.
This
is black.
Wasn't that a famous Steve Martin thing?
It might be.
Because he said when you have kids, you should just talk wrong.
Yeah.
So, like, your kid would show up at school and be like, blah, 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 blah.
Or when they ask you something, they're like, okay, would you put this up on that shelf? And he puts it down, and like, I said up, and I think that is up.
Right.
That's what my dad always taught me. That probably is. It's been a long time since I've listened to any old Steve Martin, but I'd have to say that that was one of the first actual records that I kind of our
I love
store.
Yeah, that's
Let's Get Small.
Let's Get Small.
I took that record from my cousin without asking him and listened to it, and there wasn't really much cussing on it, but it seemed racy.
My brothers were listening to it. We lived in this really long house or really long apartment.
Skinny ones?
Yeah. My mom was at one end cooking dinner or whatever, and my brothers were at the other end, and like they tried to shoo me away, but I heard Steve Martin say, "Does the Pope shit in the woods?"
That's about the worst.
Yeah, and it was like a curse word, and I thought that was cool as hell. Because my brothers were into it, and they were both older than me, I was like, man, that's whatever they're doing's gotta be awesome.
I really like this book, Cruel Shoes. You know, that really inspired me to write funny stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I even though he wasn't that dirty, you know, I'd seen him on Saturday Night Live as a kid because I was lucky enough to have parents who would let me stay up that late and watch that show, which most parents would like, you can't be watching that when you're 6 years old. But and then my brother and my cousin, who were both like 5 and 7 years older than me, had whatever Carlin record that had the 7 words you can't say on TV. And I don't know if it was because I was a kid and those were words you weren't supposed to say, but that was when I was like, comedy is good. Comedy is good, and when they, you know, it's just good.
I think I already mentioned this on a different podcast, but that's what I did. Like, because my brothers wouldn't let me hang with them and listen to Steve Martin.
Right.
So, like, the next day, I broke into my brother's room, and I stole, like, I stole everything that just had a guy on the cover that wasn't, like,
a band.
Holding a musical instrument or whatever, and I think I ended up with a couple of jazz albums as well. But like
Tijuana Brass.
Yeah, it was a couple of
Pablo Cruz.
That might have been pre-Pablo. No, it was
probably not. Those guys are hilarious.
Speaking of Saturday Night Live, it appears that Kristen Wiig is moving on from that. I mean,
speaking of tearing up, it was pretty.
Do you guys think that she's the best? Where does she stand as far as female cast characters on Saturday Night Live?
I think she's almost equal to like the Will Ferrell of the cast, even though, you know, genders aside.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as like the past female characters from like Jane Curtin and
met Jane Curtin in person, and she's a bitch.
She seems like
that was just the one name that came to mind.
Actually, what I like to call her is an ignorant slut.
I feel like
Kristen Wiig is really as strong as far as.
I feel like Kristen Wiig kind of stepped up and filled the Amy Poehler void. You know when Amy Poehler?
Yeah.
And I really do think Bridesmaids was just fantastic.
Yeah,
like that.
And she's played bit parts in movies too that she just steals scenes. That Paul movie, you know, I was just watching
up.
That the other day.
That was the first time I ever really noticed her. Yeah. I was in Knocked Up, and she had such a small part in it, but it was so funny the way she played it.
And she's doing quite a bit of the writing behind the scenes too.
Yeah, well, she wrote
that
half
whole movie.
Of Bridesmaids.
Yeah. With her probably like real life kind of stuff, probably.
I would just like to note for the record that all of my coughing is not marijuana smoke.
And the reason we're coughing is because Seth got us infected with his zombie disease from the Children of Terra Firma.
Look, I'm going to be honest with the listener.
You probably got
listener.
Contact by
the way. I'm going to be honest with the listener. These guys are a bunch of marijuana heads. That's the correct terminology. Right?
Marijuana heads.
They've been smoking pot on me.
Wow.
And speaking of that, I got another question.
Okay.
I was reading on your Wikipedia page. You know, I was in on your Wikipedia page.
There's a different set.
No, I made one for you.
Okay. All right.
And it said in the 80s you were on the forefront of jazzercise instruction.
Jazzercise instruction?
Yeah, is that true?
No, that is not true.
Well, what were you doing in the 80s?
I was probably like being 3 to 13.
So that was a bad time for jazzercise.
It was his formative years.
Yeah, you know, I was getting
He was
into
dumping
drugs.
Half gallons of semen on girls at outdoor school or whatever.
I was.
And if you want to know more about that story, go see Seth Milstein live. He might share that with you. But a half gallon of semen didn't happen, but it's a funny story.
Oh, I was going to say, you whip
that's
that
a true story. My
it's
brother
a story
finally heard
happen.
That bit. My real.
Is he mad now?
No, he was
glad
like,
to be part
I
of
kinda
it.
I kind of remember that. I kind of remember that.
Yeah, you can either spoil it or you can let people come to see you.
You guys should definitely come to see me.
Yeah, for sure.
This Sunday night, at Lucky's.
Yes.
Plugs. Where's Lucky's at? We're up in Eugene, right?
In Eugene.
933 Olive Street.
933 Olive Street.
Cool
and,
place.
We're going to have, this is actually kind of an awesome show. We're having Sarah Schaefer of the You Had to Be There podcast.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this on
Wednesday.
You got
to be there, right?
Yeah.
This Saturday?
Sunday. It's the Sunday before Memorial Day, so you can
off. You could party your face off.
And you don't have to be at work.
That's a great idea, too, to have a show right before a holiday.
It's only $5.
That's a cool band there. It's a nice
band
there.
This is a chick who, she's won 2 Emmys because she was a writer on Jimmy Fallon, and she's hilarious.
Wow. Nice.
That's $250 per Emmy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great deal.
No, because there's another
dude. She
was
just nominated for another one.
There's another dude, too, who
and
was also...
Scott Moran, who was a Seattle comic, and he got the balls that we don't have yet and moved to New York.
Who does Rubber Bullets.
Yeah, he's a very funny dude.
You know, you go and see Tom Petty, that's like $50, and he doesn't even have an Emmy.
Dude.
That's like infinite dollars per Emmy.
That's so funny that you would say that and that amount, because that's the only artist that I've paid $50 to see. And while it was awesome, I wouldn't pay $50.
Tom Petty's a good show.
It was a good show, and it was at the Corvallis, whatever that thing is.
Oh, was that the one where he kicked off his tour at the Gil Coliseum?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I saw that. I know I was there.
I think you were there with Pat, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
I would love to see Tom Petty.
Wonder what Pat wants.
Yeah, it's a good show.
He's a good songwriter. I like him.
We're going to have a segment called Where's Pat?
Are we going to call him right now? Let's do the segment.
My phone's dead. My phone's dead. I need to plug it in. We'll save that for later, but yeah, we need to finish up on this plug. It's 9 p.m. Sunday, May 27th.
Actually, we changed the start time to 8 p.m.
Okay, thank you for being here.
I always tell people an hour early.
Yeah, so it starts
it's Eugene, so the show will probably end up starting closer to 9. But
the party starts when they get there. That's what I always say.
So come out, and that's going to be a good one. And you'll be doing a set there as well?
Yes, I will be hosting the show, and I will be doing a short set to begin with.
And if by chance...
And because we mentioned it, I'll do the half gallon.
Yeah, you have to. And if you don't, and if you guys are from the Albany area or Portland, you could go to the Dixie Creek Saloon. He will be there with me and Don Frost and Josh Finch and Carmichael McGee and Gatch hosting the show.
Oh, shit.
You're hosting. Oh, speaking of you doing stand-up being a crazy motherfucker, he
I haven't even prepared at all.
He joined the Helium Comedy Contest, and he's only been stand-up once.
I did the MC that one time.
So, I did not join that contest.
So they're going to announce the roster tomorrow.
Those, right? I'm just going to get up there and tell like one joke I'm going to do.
So
like,
tomorrow you'll get
how
it
do you tell if your bread is fresh? You pinch a loaf, and then I'll walk off stage.
You got to tell your spam joke.
Yeah, the spam one's good too.
In Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
It's your good email.
Okay. Isn't that the joke that you guys play at the start of the show?
Yeah, that was the best. No offense to Dustin, but he's only had 4 minutes of stand-up, so I had to choose something out of that.
I can't remember if I heard that on last week's episode or Wednesday's episode.
Yeah, it must probably both. That's why you recognized it. But yeah, that's a good one. So yeah, I think that's about that for that. I don't know what we were
at. Have you guys ever been to a Civil War reenactment? You have, Jeff? How was it? Who won?
We had this thing.
It's always the same.
The South doesn't win down South. Why would they reenact?
No, the South always wins. The South always gets beat. Unless it's a particular battle that they won.
When I lived in Indiana, they did this thing called the Fiddler's Gathering, I think, and it wasn't a Civil War reenactment, but it was like it was just a whole bunch of shit. From back in the day, like people would dress up.
So it's like a Renaissance festival,
but
a different
kind
time
of.
Period.
But it was more frontiery, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like there was a guy that would blow. He would light a piece of wood on fire and then just blow on it through a long stick for 3 days until it was a canoe. Like that's a true story. I watched the dude. That's how they used to do it back in the day. They would light this section of the wood on fire.
What?
I mean, they would chop off like as much as they could, and then they would light it on fire. And the guy would just blow it with a stick. It was the only way he can control the fire, and then he would basically do it until the center of the canoe was all burned out.
I've never even heard that story. Terry is over there. He's rolling on the ground.
No, that's a true story.
And then he would just blow it for 3 days until it turned into a
canoe. Yeah, like he would hang out there and just be
that's what my wife did in my penis.
Your penis is a canoe?
It is not a canoe. It's a wooden canoe.
She lit it on fire?
And then she blew on it for 3 days until it turned into a canoe.
Is it a red canoe? Because I could put my money in there.
Nope, it's cream color.
That's what happened to his dog.
I got a weird cramp in my good leg. Well, yeah. Actually my bad leg, because my good leg costs way more, so it's good. But and then I like almost knocked my chair over, and then I wanted to go plug my apparatus in.
For the listener, he just got up and did some weird methy dancing in the room. He literally just got up, pivoted around, and then sat back down.
No, I dropped some stuff and then like draped a cord over something and knocked my headphones off and like...
Is that Michael?
It smells like nose hairs and mucus in here.
Yeah, sorry. I have right. Both of those things in abundance.
Okay, I think we're at two questions from Destin and one question from me.
All right, it's your turn.
I'm going to go more serious question.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you what your two most memorable comedy shows were on the scale of your worst
best to worst.
Yeah. Like your best show ever was?
That's actually pretty easy. It was recently I did a show in Independence.
With the pizza?
Yeah. Indie pizza. And what happened was, so I got booked to do this show in Springfield. I love listing the adjectives of this show. I was not getting paid. I was doing 2 10-minute sets. In between bands, emo punk rock bands, in the rec room of a church, in a place that didn't serve alcohol or anything like that, and with Joshua Finch. That part, but with Joshua Finch, is the only good part of that story. But, no, I mean, everybody there was nice, and he ended up having a great show. But anyway, so I got booked to do that, and I'm there, and we're just waiting to perform. And Will Woodruff calls me, and he's like, "Hey, what's up, buddy?" And I was like, "Not much, I'm getting ready to do this show." And he was like, "You do know that you're booked tonight." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're booked to do Independence."
With Ron, right?
I was featuring for Ron Funches.
Yeah, like, no big deal.
Only one of the bigger comics in the area. Well, probably the biggest.
Yeah, he's been on Conan and Portlandia. So.
Yeah, and so I'm like, "Oh my God, when did we do this? When did we book this?" And he goes, "Yeah, the last time you were at the Dugout, which is a now defunct venue in Salem." And I was like, "When did we talk about that?" And he's like, "Afterwards, while we were getting tacos." And I was like, "Oh, when I was shit hammered."
Yeah.
Drunk. And he was like, "Yeah, you did tell me that I should Facebook you something about it."
And he didn't.
But I didn't. Yeah. And now I regret doing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, how far is Independence from where I am?" And he's like, "That hour."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What time does the show start?" And he's like, 9:00. And I look at my watch, and it's 8:15. So I'm like, "I'm getting in my car right now. I'm going to start driving." I talked to Josh. I was like, "Hey, can you do 3 sets instead of one?" And he's like, "Sure." And so I get my car, I start driving, and, like, I don't know where the fuck Independence is.
Right.
I've never been to
I've been there.
Before.
I still don't know where it is.
Yeah. And, like, exactly. I'm like, hauling ass up the highway. Also, I'm driving a 21-year-old Honda with no speedometer whatsoever, so
it's always
kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
And
hoping you don't get pulled over.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like hauling ass on the way to the show, and then Jesse Priest calls me, who was opening the show,
right?
And he goes, "How far away are you?" And I like reconfigure my Google Maps so that it gives me like the amount of time.
Right.
And I was like, "It says that I'm 12 minutes out." And he goes, "I'm about to go on stage,
and I've got 11.
I've got 10 minutes." And I was like, "Stretch, buddy."
Yeah.
And then I pull up into Independence, and it's like the whole town is just basically a T'd street. It's like one street that runs into another
place.
Street.
That's it.
And the pizza place is right at the point of the T.
Right.
And Will Woodruff is standing out front, and he's on the phone with me, and he's like, "All right, pull over on the right behind that SUV. It's the closest possible spot.
Run out."
And I run into the place, and I walk into the room, into the pizza place, and it is fucking dead. And I'm like, "God damn it, you just made me fucking drive
no one was
all
there?
That way. for all this shit, and no one's here.
No one?
And then he takes me into this back room. The whole place is just fucking loaded with people. And,
that's a fun room.
I try not to judge people, but, like, it's a small town in rural Oregon. Like, I was these people, they're probably not going to dig what I have to offer them. I get up, I do a 20-minute set, and it is, like, one of the best sets I've ever had. Like, they laugh every fucking joke. And then I walk off the stage. I think he gave me more money than I'd ever been paid to do stand-up at that point in time. And then I got to watch Ron Funches for 40 minutes. He's one of my good friends and one of my favorite comics in the universe. So that was like my best show
experience. That's awesome, because I've wondered about that room, because Boomer told me a story about getting the cops called on him for telling a joke about, it wasn't about child molestation, but it was borderline on a kid or something, and some young kid was there, and so someone called the cops, and the cops actually came while he was on stage.
Oh, weird.
That's sick.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a different story for a different thing. Yeah. What would be your worst
show?
Like, you thought it was going to be, or even if you didn't think it was going to be good, just in your memory.
I knew going to the show.
Does it end with your pants down on your ankles, or is that what made it bad?
I knew that the show was not going to be the greatest show, and the only reason I accepted the gig was because I wanted to have some hell gigs, I've had bad sets, but like I haven't had a lot of like just horrible experiences or whatever.
Right.
This is another one where I love listing the adjectives. So it was an outdoor festival on a dude's property in Cresswell.
It's getting worse.
I wasn't getting paid. I knew that going in. I was doing 3 15-minute sets. I was only about a year into doing comedy at this time. So it was like every fucking joke I had ever written.
With long pauses.
it was daytime.
Yeah.
I get there and realize that it's a biker festival.
Oh, great.
Sweet.
And
revise my material.
And then
there goes that whole anti biker set.
So I do a set and then I go off stage, and it's also I'm doing sets in between bands.
Right.
Which is rough. Yeah. And so I do a set, I go off stage, this band's playing, and right towards the end of their set, a skydiver falls out of the sky, and lands in the festival like it's planned or whatever, He's got the big Red Bull. Yeah, it was totally, like, he knew that he was landing there or whatever.
He knew you were a joke. So, let me out of this plane!
So then I go on, and I think to myself, thank God that happened then. And then I go on stage, and sure enough, about 5 minutes into my second set, another guy drops out of the plane, and literally anybody that was listening at the time just fucking runs around the side of the stage to go watch that or whatever.
I just lost my audience.
Yeah.
When
I had an audience, the way that this guy actually built this, and like he was a really good guy, he built this fucking thing on his property. It was like a band shell, and it was like a structure, like a permanent structure with like a cement patio or a brick patio right in front of the band shell or whatever. And so it was like really cool, and I'm sure at nighttime when they got the right band going on, that was probably really lively and awesome or whatever. Nobody, while I was there, I go on at like 2 or something. Nobody is sitting like anywhere near the whole thing. Everybody is on the grass in the back where like there's some shade and stuff like that. And the messed up thing was, I could see people laughing at stuff that I was saying. Like, some people were paying attention and laughing or whatever, but they were so far away that I couldn't hear them. And, like, at one point, I had a joke where I mentioned that I'm originally from New York.
Yeah.
And one dude goes, woo! And then, like, I walk off the stage and I asked Brad, I was like, hey, you probably know everybody that's here. Do you have a guy from New York? And he's like, yeah, there's one guy that comes every year.
Woo!
Woo! Nice.
Yeah, that guy likes me. But it was just, like, as far as getting the least out of it, emotionally, professionally,
feedback from the audience,
fucking level, it was a tremendous disaster. But I get to tell that story now.
Right, and plus, you know, any comedian knows that bad gigs, they're just they're character builders. They help you grow. They make you better or make you get out.
Sometimes when you play poker, you're going to lose even when you got the best hand.
Poker? You poker, you broader.
All right, I would.
Well, so what are we at? We're all almost at a... I don't even know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We can go as long as we want. I was wondering, Seth, if you've ever considered having an agent.
I mean, yeah. But, I have to be honest. That's really, like, that aspect of the comedy profession, I just don't think about it yet.
Right.
Because I feel like... I feel like I'm good compared to me a year ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But it's like I know that I'll be really embarrassed that I'm telling these jokes like in a couple of years. I just started writing like the material, the type of jokes that I intended to write when I first started doing stand-up. Like, it took me that long to figure that much out.
To get, yeah.
Yeah, just to get it to where it's my voice and I'm not even clear on what my voice is, because I'm inspired by so many different types of comedy and different comics and stuff, so, I really do feel like I like the idea of just going on stage and being silly, but I also feel like you kind of have a little bit of a social responsibility, like, not me at this level right now,
because
I'm not talking to a huge audience at all. But, you know, like, if you're planning to do this for a career, you kind of have a little bit of a social responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
If not to to make a positive statement, then to just not make a negative one, you know? And, I've seen comics that... you know, we'll just go on stage and, you know, say offensive things just to say offensive things. And they get, and then you'll get a reaction from the audience every single time.
But how long can you keep just doing that?
But, how long can you keep doing that? And be like, at the end of it all, you're using your voice for that, you know?
Right.
Why, you know, and it's like, you know, I think of guys like Andrew Dice Clay. Like, he appealed to a 13-year-old me in a big way. But now it's just like...
It was kind of difficult.
If he would have stopped, doing that and, like, dropped the character or whatever and started... He doesn't have to, you know, go out there and be, you know, the next, like, you know, social, you know, leader or whatever. But he, you know, if... If he just would have dropped that and, I heard an interview with Bobcat Goldthwait recently, and that guy is mortified when he thinks about, like, his whole, like, screaming and all that, you know.
He kind of dropped that persona, didn't he?
Yeah, and you know, he's like, he actually said in the interview that he's like, I can't even do that voice anymore. Like, when I do it, it sounds like somebody else
trying to
doing
imitate.
A bad imitation. He's like, I've lost, you know, the thing that made me all that money or whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, at a certain point, when you make your bones on something that is ridiculous and really, like, is not anything that you could really be proud of in the end, then, you know, like, was it worth it?
Right.
You know, like, maybe it's worth it because that guy has a bigger house or whatever. But, you know, also, now he's not doing that shit and he... doesn't, you know, he has to pay that mortgage on that big ass house, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, luckily, he's a very smart dude, and he's made some awesome movies in the past couple of years.
He's
and,
pretty much
you know, he kind of, I feel like he's really reconfigured his career to kind of make up for what he did.
Right.
You know, he's like, you know, I don't think that he's got a big head about it, but I really feel like...
You're talking about Bobcat?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like
have you seen the movies that he's directed?
I've seen.
What was that one?
World's Greatest Dad.
World's Greatest Dad.
And
was,
like,
I've
seen the
great movie.
The
I
trailer
Robin
for the
Williams.
New one.
Was that Robin Williams?
That's the Robin Williams one.
Yeah, and then there's the Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Yeah,
that
I haven't seen that.
Too.
I have that one on my. I think it's on my hard drive.
Yeah, dude, he knows how to open a movie. You know, he knows how to capture your attention, you know, especially in like, The World's Greatest Dad, you know, no spoilers or anything, I guess, at this point, right? But
that's an old movie.
Yeah. You know,
if
I mean,
you haven't seen that yet.
Him walking in on his kid, you know, jerking him with a belt around his neck, the internet porn.
Oops.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, that'd be so...
The trailer
you
for the
totally go right into
like,
it, like,
awesome.
You know, you... Oh, shit, you know? That.
Yeah. Yeah, the trailer for the new movie looks really awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Didn't he have some other weird ones like
that Windy City Heat?
Yeah, that was the one.
I was at Bridgetown one year and I was talking to John Doerr, who has a really fucking brilliant TV show that was on Canadian television. And he said that was his favorite movie. He's like, if you haven't seen that movie, that's like the best
movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking
and
crazy.
I rented it like right when I got home, and it's really funny.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
The whole
movie
is a prank.
Yeah.
One dude is so funny.
And then it shows him at the end watching the movie, doesn't it? Or
it's
like it's
on the DVD.
Oh,
is
it an extra?
It's like an extra.
Yeah, and he's just totally freaking out. They totally they had him. You know, convinced that he was the next, like, a big, huge actor.
Right.
Yeah.
They had him swimming in that
monster
shit.
I'm going to have to rewatch it, because I don't remember how long ago it was, maybe a year or two, when you told me to check it out.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I was like, that's pretty funny, how far they took it.
Yeah, like, you know, and Jimmy Kimmel and
the funniest part
love.
Of it is that they have all these people like Dane Cook is in that movie.
Yeah,
but
he's like a 10-year-old gag.
But yeah, like they played the name that he uses is like Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Like they use like these famous names, but this guy's just kind of a dope.
He's just
and
so
doesn't know
oblivious to it all.
For sure. All right, so we must be getting almost to an hour, huh?
Sure.
What are we looking at over there?
Before we go, or if that's where we are, I wanted to touch on your monthly showcases that you have in Eugene. Wednesday and last Thursday of each month. Right?
Yes, I have the Oak Street Speakeasy on the last Wednesday of every month.
That's always fun.
And it's always free. We do ask a suggested donation of $5, but we understand people are broke, and we want people to be able to see comedy.
Yeah, but
they support the arts.
Yeah, and most of these, you know, you usually got two or three people coming from Portland.
Yeah.
Well, actually, my MO now is I try to do 3 to 4.
Yeah, I've noticed that it was always at least one, if not three.
Yeah, this month, I think it falls on the 30th, we have Nathan Brandon as headlining.
Yep.
Jimmy Neustetter, Irish Gene Gorman, and Noriko Ott.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Randy Mendez as well. And I think we're going to have Barno McCartney.
Yep.
So that should be a really fun
He's
show.
The heavy metal guy that looks kind of like Joaquin Phoenix.
He's I call him the Whitaker's Kyle Kinane.
Yeah.
Because
that too.
He's like Kyle Kinane if the Whitaker dressed him up.
Yeah. And then the next night will be the Granary on the 31st, right?
Yeah. The next night is Granary with Veronica Heath. Chris Castles is on that show. Oh, Jesse Priest is on the Oak Street show as well.
And the Oak Street's 9 o'clock?
Yeah, that's 9 o'clock. Granary's also 9 o'clock.
Okay.
But Granary is a $5 cover.
Okay.
And Veronica Heath will be the headliner on that.
She's been on Portlandia too.
Yeah, she was on Portlandia. And she has a podcast with Lonnie Brood.
Yep. The
called
Nook.
Fly on the Wall.
Oh, was it Fly on the Wall?
Yeah,
okay.
It's called Fly on the Wall, if I'm not mistaken. I might be totally wrong.
I thought one was called The Nook, but that might be a different one. There's so many. But,
yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, those are two shows coming up just
middle
of next week.
On the Granary show, we'll also have Andy Bradwin, Bryce Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Jokey the Kid, I believe.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's a really funny kid.
For being 17, he's the youngest.
And I think Barney will be doing
that I've seen. He actually placed 6th in that Willamette Valley Comedy Contest, and he's 17
nice.
Years old.
Nice.
He's got some good bits.
He's very funny.
Do you guys like some trivia?
Sure, we got time for trivia. He
yeah.
had a segment in Wednesday's episode called Stump Terry.
Yeah, I asked
where
him.
Where if I got the question right, then I got to stump him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oops. Just
yeah, but I don't know if you got it right or not. The question
figured out the answer.
Yeah. It was Round and Round, that song by Rat.
Oh, yeah. Did they ever tell you why?
Yeah, did they ever tell you why?
And I said,
Round and Round.
That's when I said, give it time.
All right.
Okay.
What kind of trivia do you guys want to play?
Let's do Stump Seth.
All right.
What about?
All right.
Was it Round and Round by Van Halen?
No, that was Rat.
Or Van Hagar.
Round and, no, there's a different one that's Round.
Run Around.
Run Around. Yeah. This was Round and Round.
All right. What we're gonna do is we're gonna play head to head, and I will ask you for a category that you wish to play in, and then you get to play until you miss two. And then how many ever get right is your score.
Do I have to choose a category? Or
do you have a category?
Category?
Well, I might have it. I have several categories.
Jokes by Seth Milstein.
I have the closest I have to that is rugby.
What?
I don't think I would do well.
Why is it head to head?
Land, dog poo, and the human response.
Is it someone going against someone? Is that what?
Yeah, it's you two.
Oh, okay. I hate Bono. He's a dick.
All right.
Bono.
Oh my god.
Can
music,
I choose
movies?
His category and then he'll choose mine?
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Okay.
That's kind of stretchy.
That's cool. That makes it interesting.
That's a weird thing.
Okay, I'm gonna choose entertainment. Is there one that's entertainment or is it music or movies?
There's fine arts, music, or movies.
Those are two separate categories.
Or performing arts, yeah.
I'm going to choose music. I know he knows music, but I know he likes movies.
All right. So. All right, Seth.
Okay. Let's do it.
Which pop and R&B singer won the X Factor in 2006 and released albums Spirit and Echo? Is that even a possible question? Was X Factor in that?
In the UK, it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
That's a fucking hard question.
Was it Maria...
That's multiple choice. That's
Duffy, Kelly Osbourne, or Leona Lewis?
Oh, I'm going Leona Lewis all the way. All
right. You guess Leona Lewis, you are correct.
Yes!
What was the Grammy Awards first called? Grammy Public Company, Phonograph Awards, Grandmother Awards, or Gramophone Awards?
I'm going to say Gramophone Awards.
Educated guess.
That is correct.
Woo!
What year were Aubrey O'Day and Dee Woods kicked out of the girl group Danity Kane?
What are my options?
2001, 2005, 2008, 2010.
I'm going to say 2008. Alex?
That is correct.
Please put your question in the form of an answer.
In 2006, what band won a Grammy Award for Record of the Year with their Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
Oh, that's easy.
Record of the Year? I'm going to say it's Green Day, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. That was the only one that actually kind of knew.
See, and you knew that the reason that it was called, that's not the name of the album, but it was a single.
Right,
so
okay.
How old was Taylor Swift when she released her debut single, Tim McGraw, in 2006? 12, 14, 16, or 20?
Oh, man. I want to say, my instinct says 16, but I'm going to say 14.
All right. She had a song called Tim McGraw. That's weird. The correct answer is 16. One strike. You get one more strike.
Okay. Yeah.
Gave him a buzzer.
Who had a duet with Boyz II Men in One Sweet Day? David Beckham, Mariah Carey, Nelson Mandela, Bill Gates.
Hold on a sec. Let me scroll through my iPad.
Hey, wait. He's looking up the answers.
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. My bad. I'm just bored
like
with this
Applebee's
podcast that I'm on right now.
It's Applebee's.
David Beckham, Mariah Carey, Nelson Mandela, or Bill Gates?
What's the name of the movie?
It's who had a duet with Boyz II Men.
On what movie?
Wasn't it on a movie?
No, I think the song was One Sweet Day.
Okay.
Oh, One Sweet Day.
David Beckham, Mariah Carey, Nelson Mandela, or Bill Gates?
I want it to be either Nelson Mandela or Bill Gates, but I have a feeling it's probably Mariah Carey.
I'm thinking so it was. All right.
How many questions are you going to fucking ask this dude?
Until he gets two wrong.
Oh.
In which year?
I'm kind of killing it.
Right, yeah, Carrie. Yeah.
In which year?
I just don't care for no reason.
Killing Carrie.
Yep.
In which year did Prince sign with the Universal Records? 1987, 2000, 2005, and 2006. We're on level
Universal
2 now.
Universal Records. Jeez.
I know. I know you follow Prince's timeline of record signings. It's kind of a softball.
I do love early Prince.
Let's go crazy.
Like Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, I do. Early. I do. Yeah, I like the earlier stuff. And then like, it's like I like his as he got older. I like his music less and him as an insane person.
10 seconds.
I'm going to say, what are the 2000 options again?
2000, 2005, 2006.
I'm going to say 2005.
1 second left. You got it correct.
All right.
Which album did Madonna produce in 2000 after the success of her 1998 Ray of Light album? Like a Prayer, Hard Candy, Music, or American Life?
I'm going to say Hard Candy.
Music is the right answer.
Oh.
You got a score of 6, which is actually pretty good.
Okay.
Now you get to pick.
We're gonna run out of time.
Okay, what are the options for categories?
There's plenty. There's too many lists.
Pick rugby, please.
There's like celebrities, football, movies, music.
Something hard.
Random.
I don't know sports.
TV.
I'm gonna kind of fuck them, but not completely, and just say random.
All right, random it
is. I'm a random trivia guy.
Random. Which actor starred in Mission Impossible and The Last Samurai?
Tom Cruise.
Did you get these questions off of like the of like a card that's in a diner somewhere?
Yeah. Which country is not in Asia? Chile, Myanmar, Burma, Vietnam, or Sri Lanka?
Not in where? Asia?
Asia.
Fuck, I don't know.
Chile?
Yeah,
Myanmar?
I'm going to go with Chile. I like it.
That is correct. Which continents are joined together? North and South America, Asia and Australia, Europe and Asia, or Europe and Africa?
The first answer, North America and South America.
That is incorrect. Europe and Asia. Which famous actress died the same day as Michael Jackson?
Choices.
Barbara Streisand, Alexis Arguello, Suzanne Summers, or Farrah Fawcett?
Barbara Streisand isn't dead. That's a trick answer question.
I think the only person that's dead on there is the answer.
Okay, let me hear the other three again. Barbara Streisand. Farrah Fawcett.
All right.
I'm going to guess that.
That is correct.
Okay.
And Ganesh looks like what animal?
Ganoush.
Ganesh, Ganoush.
What's a Ganesh?
The Hindi deity. Fox, elephant, lion, or cow?
Ganesh? Well, I'm going to go with fox.
It is elephant. You got a score of 3.
Oh,
Seth wins.
He doubled my score. That's all right. That little segment was kind of getting stale, though.
I know. We need some better questions.
Oh, only because you lost.
Yeah. Let's just squash
maybe
that
segment. Maybe
there
needs to be money.
That's stupid.
Let's just stick with Stump Terry and... fuck this head-to-head with Seth. He's a fucking smart Jew. He's very learned.
Why is it got to be smart Jew? I'm not Jewish.
Well, your name's Milstein, and I guess you're, I like to call you Jewish, because you're cheap.
I'm not even cheap.
I'm just creating
well,
a facade.
I'm terrible with money. I'm bad at business. I don't know about any other stereotypes.
Have you been watching Urkel's new show, though?
No.
Lights Out.
I got rid of cable, so...
I don't even know what channel it's on. I just watched it on Hulu. I watched one. It was the weirdest thing.
I watched the Netflix a lot.
Yeah.
They turn the lights out, and then you have to stick your hand in these tanks. And then feel around.
Weird. So it's kind of, what's the Joe Rogan show?
Kind of like that, but
I saw part of that, and this lady was going, a rat, and it was a spider, it was like a tarantula.
I saw
one,
was a pineapple in there, and people were in the dark, and they were touching it, and just freaking out, and running around.
Jellyfish!
Ah, I can't believe it, what is it?
I wouldn't freak out on a pineapple unless it was on pizza. But we just lost most of our
but
Oregon
it was in the
audience.
And our Hawaiian audience, too. Yeah. Okay, well, we better wrap up.
All right.
I think we'll probably...
You got everybody plugged in and everything?
Yeah, I think we covered all of our plugs.
Sweet.
We'd like to do the open mic thing at Taylor's for a little while on Mondays.
Oh,
and
I
the green
have another
room.
Plug.
Okay, plug it up.
Well,
your nose is plugged.
Yeah, my nose is plugged. That's happening. Okay. And hold on, let me get the calendar out here for a second. Lonnie Brune and Christine Levine will
both
be...
Excellent.
We'll be performing on June 8th at Diablo's Downtown Lounge. I believe that's $8 for tickets in advance, $10 at the door. That's going to be an amazing show.
Yes, that's a little more than people are used to paying at Diablo's, but well worth it.
Right, Christine is, her movie just is on the verge of coming out.
Yep.
Yeah, and she's about to do the Fringe Festival in Scotland,
yep,
which is awesome.
Yep. Where
she'll be doing her one woman,
Fat Whore.
Well, that's the name of her one woman show.
Yeah.
Fat Whore.
And she's proud of it.
Yeah, and so. It's, and I've seen most of the jokes that go into that show, and they're fucking
excellent.
Hilarious.
Yes.
She's an amazing comic.
Yep. And
I saw her do one of the best sets, not that she's ever done, one of the best sets of comedy that I've ever seen in my life.
At the Bridgetown,
yep. Comedy Festival.
Yep.
It was
I heard
fucking
about
amazing.
That.
She's yep. awe-inspiring. And Lonnie Brune is also another guy who just every time I see him, he blows me away and just gets better and better. And he's been doing it for
20
years.
20
yeah.
years at least, yeah.
Yeah, he's a
definite road comic.
I don't know about 20 years, but close. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to check into that. All right. Well, thanks for being here, Seth. This has been
thank you guys for having me.
Episode 3 of the Tag
yeah.
Cast Podcast.
I'd like to, before we go, thank everybody for downloading the show.
Yeah, we had like 70 downloads.
I know.
First,
yeah.
First episode.
That's awesome. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. And if you like it, go and rate and review it at iTunes because
yeah.
that really helps us out.
Kind of a hassle, but if
and,
you can do it. Oh, also, I'd like to do a quick shout out for the if you shop on Amazon, if you ever like to buy stuff at Amazon, which who doesn't?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
could go to our tagcastpodcast.com, and in the right hand corner, there'll be a thing that says Shop Amazon. If you go there, it's not going to cost you anything more.
Nope.
And we'll get a little bit of a kickback, and we can maybe buy a new mic stand or something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know,
help us out. And
that
it doesn't
way,
cost you any more. But
yeah, you're not donating
you know,
to us. But if you want to do that too, there's also a thing you can click because we're not money grubbers. But every
yeah,
little bit
if
helps.
You
so if you
donate,
want to give us $1.50.
Some people just like to donate.
Yeah. If you
and
like
if you yeah, you can also go to sonsofconfusion.com and download an album for free.
Yeah, free music's good.
Free music.
Also, I wanted to mention, nothing is set in stone with this, but...
I'm not your stepping stone.
June 29th or 30th in Eugene, I believe Ron Funches will be headlining a show.
Ron Funches.
I cannot guarantee that as of right now, but...
His name reminds me of...
The Eugene area?
In Eugene.
Okay.
that show is currently being set up right now, and, you know, it's... So definitely, you know, look at all of our Facebook profiles.
He's Bunches of Funches.
Yeah,
he's his name really makes me think of Crunchy Funyuns.
Crunchy
Funyuns.
I don't really go there with that.
I don't know if that's a nickname he wants to hold on to.
I would bet he would like to eat Crunchy Funyuns.
Yeah, I'm not a big Funyuns fan, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's a lot of Funch to go with.
Crunchy Funyuns. Is that the name of this episode?
Could be Crunchy Funyuns.
Crunchy Funyuns.
Sounds like a good one. And a special shout out to our sound guy, Jeff, who's been rather
thank
silent.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
This episode, as well as episode 2, has been brought to you by the Cash House on
yes.
Pacific night. What's some 12:50?
Yeah. That's
all
it.
Right. 12:50. I have a good stoner memory.
Yes.
All right. Thanks all for listening. It's been a fun time. And
yes.
Tune in on next Wednesday.
And wear your helmet if you ride your unicycle in the rain.
Listening out.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.